Father, again, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, even as Jeremy sung that song, Lord, be all because of Jesus and all because of the cross, Lord, we can stand here tonight in your presence. Oh, we can stand here in your presence without condemnation and without guilt, Lord Jesus, because of the blood, because of that you've made us righteous because of what you did at Calvary. And not only that, you've sent the mighty Holy Spirit into our life to empower us, to help us, to strengthen us, and to lead us into the word that we could rise up in a place of victory and think like you and act like you and speak like you. Because as we hear tonight, the world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And we are already the sons of God, Father. It's just the manifestations of the sons of God. So we thank you that as we are being taught the word of God, as we get into the word of God and penetrate by your spirit into your word, that we have been transformed and changed from glory to glory, from righteousness to righteousness, from faith to faith, that we would have more, Lord God, more, Father, igniting in our spirit man to rise up and to act like we're supposed to act, Jesus, in accordance with your word. Amen. Okay. So gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about lesson 5 tonight. There's only 3 lessons to go after this. You know, as I was standing there tonight, again, even in that one song, I'm just so conscious of that, you know, that Jesus is the head of the body. The same Jesus that walked the earth in a physical body and healed the sick, the lame, the blind, raised the dead. The same Jesus is the head of the body. You are his body. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his body. And he is the head of the body. So we need the instructions from the head, because the body and the head are joined. And it's like Jesus needs his body because you are his arms upon the earth. You are his mouth upon the earth. You are his heart, his compassion. You are his eyes upon earth. He's seated at the right hand side of the Father. And he sent the Spirit of God to live and dwell within us, to lead us and to guide us and to show us things to come, so that we as the body, can do what the Master wants us to do. Because he's never stopped doing what he's always done. He's still the miracle worker. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. He's still the Savior. But he's reaching out now through his body worldwide. Because we are the temple worldwide, amen. So just keep that in mind, that we are the body. And Jesus says, the works that I did, you will do also. And greater works that you do than I did. Because why? Because he went to be with the Father. He was one person. But now he's got a body that's worldwide, with the Spirit of God living and dwell within his body. So much more can be done on a wider scale. So a little bit of revision from last week. Tracy gives her apologies for not being here and her joyful face, so you just have to put up with me tonight, you know. But she's the joyful one, you know, yay. So I'll just go, yay. If you're hearing this tape tonight, Tracy, yay.
It's like 3.
Yeah, okay. So revision from last week. We talked about the discerning of spirits allows the believer to have access into the spirit realm. Right, so discerning the spirits wasn't about discerning devils, what a lot of people think. Of course it can be, but it's about discerning the angels, discerning the kingdom of God, discerning even when you're in presence of people that you just know. When Jesus was in people's presence, he knew their hearts, he knew what it was like. You read the book of Acts and you see when they came, people came into their presence. I mean, even Paul talked about different things, you know, hey, your heart's full of guile, your heart is pure. You know, there's perceptions by the Spirit of God that we can just, enhances our life and helps us to minister in a more authentic way when we know things by the Spirit of God and not trying to work things out with our mind. So the discerning of spirits, remember, it was one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and it's as the Spirit of God wills, but it's the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. It's not us trying to think what's going on. It's us knowing because we see into the realm of the Spirit. So the believers to have access into the realm of the Spirit. The gift of faith, the other thing we talked about a bit too, was the gift of faith and either of the other 2 power gifts can work together. The gifts of faith and is passive and not active. So I talked about the gifts. You look at my hand. If you see the hand, right? All different individual fingers, but they all work together. picking things up, opening things. You know, they work together. You'll find that with the gifts. You know, they all come in threes. You'll find that the gifts work very, very closely together, which we'll talk a little bit about tonight. So we're going to look again at the gift of faith. And we're not talking about faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because we know that faith comes when we hear the word of God. And we can believe God. And of course, we can act in faith. And of course, we can pray in faith. And if we can get other people in faith, when we're praying in faith, the job can still get done by our faith and by them believing. So things, supernatural things, can still happen by you believing God, but sometimes it's more of a process. Well, what we're talking about is the gifts of the Spirit. It's not a process. It's an actual fact that happens there and then. Something happens supernaturally there and then that changes things instantly. Instantly, things change by the Spirit of God. So it's totally different. It's a manifestation of one of the gifts of the Spirit. So as we mentioned before, the gifts of the Spirit often work together. In the case of raising the dead, three gifts operated together. One, the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gift of healings. You remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Lazarus got raised from the dead, right? Did Lazarus have any faith? Because he's dead. There's not an ounce of faith in Lazarus because he's dead, right? He's gone. He's in the grave. In fact, Jesus waited 4 days, and they reckon that the Jewish, you know, in that time, they reckon 4 days, that was when the Spirit left. That was their belief at that point in time, right? We know from the Bible, once your spirit goes, it goes. But anyway, that was their belief, right? So Jesus waits 4 days, comes to Lazarus, right? And then stands there and then says, Lazarus, come forth, the gift of faith in operation, the supernatural gift of faith in operation, calls the spirit basically back into his body, and Lazarus comes forth. So there's three things that were operating there at one time. It was the gift of faith, that was the supernatural gift of faith right there, manifestation of the gift of faith, the working of miracles to raise him up, but also the gift of healings. Why the gift of healings? Because the very thing that killed him could have put him back in the grave, right? So we need the three. So that's why these gifts will work together. Sometimes you can raise somebody up, but if the element or something there that was actually killed them in the first place, it needs to be healed, right? So the working of miracles was raising somebody from the dead, but the gift of faith what called them forth, and the working of miracles basically caused the miracle to happen. But you see, the miracle power of God is the activating power of God. The gift of faith speaks into the situation, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So it takes the gift of faith to call a person's spirit back when it's left his body. That's the gift of faith. It's a supernatural manifestation of the gift of faith. It comes upon people's life. And when that happens, listen, when that happens, there is no doubt. In fact, let me give you a closer story about this gift of faith, and just to really just push this point home. Many years ago in Scotland, there was a woman that used to come out of our church, and she, when her mother died, she lived in a disability complex. You know, it was paid for by the government. They slept there, the mother slept there, they had the room there. She'd lived in it because she was crippled from she was a baby. She'd never walked in her life, so there's no muscles within her legs. Her spine was twisted and severed. There was no way, it was impossible for her to walk. She was going to be like this for the rest of her life. Anyway, her mother gets saved. She brings the daughter, her daughter gets saved, and she come to the church. I reckon it was probably around about maybe 2-3 months. And we had two churches, one in Edinburgh, which is the capital of Scotland, and one in Kirkcaldy, which is north, going north, about 30 miles away. So there was two churches that we had that I was involved with. And so this girl would come, she lived in Edinburgh, would go to the church service in the morning, and then we had a church service on the Sunday night, which was 30 miles away. She would drive over. Right, her mother would drive her over and take her to the wheelchair. Now, in the church that we had in the north of Scotland, or the north of that bridge, it was stairs. This woman's in a wheelchair. So at that time in the hill, and you know, it was a way back many years ago, about 4 or 5 guys would come down the stairs and we would lift this. I mean, she was a big girl, right? We would lift this wheelchair and we'd have to lift this wheelchair up the stairs and into the sanctuary. So we used to have a bit of a joke with her. Trish, and going, Trish, wish God would hurry up and do something to you, because, you know, this is a bit sore in the back and stuff. We were like, you know, laughing, joking. She was always, you know, she's a real bubbly personality, beautiful person. So we were always kidding and joking with her. So anyway, this one night, she comes, lifts it up, in the wheelchair into the sanctuary. On that night, he's preaching on, the pastor is preaching on, and Pastor Peter, he was preaching on healing that night, on the Lord, the healer. You see, you'll get what you preach, right? And he done a whole session, he was preaching on healing and bringing, and faith was coming to people's hearts. But that night, he prayed for her in the wheelchair, right? And then she's leaving, and she's still in the wheelchair, and she's coming out in the wheelchair, and we looked at her, and she looks up at us. This is Trish, right? Never forgot this. She looks up at us, and she looked at us, and she goes, I know that I'm healed. There wasn't one ounce of doubt and unbelief in her mind. She knew that God healed her, and yet she's still sitting. Why? That was the gift of faith. When he prayed, the gift of faith basically came upon her to replace, was she had no manifestation. There was not one, you could not have convinced her that she was not healed, and yet she's still sitting in that wheelchair. The gift of faith was on her at that point in time, right? And she was operating, and she looked at us and fully, it was impacting on us. And she's going, I know that God healed me tonight. And your little mind could go, well, why didn't she get out of the wheelchair? Right? Like our minds did. Looking. Really? Right? But you couldn't even think like that, because when she looked at you, you knew there was something supernatural that she was saying, I know that God healed me. Anyway, that was Sunday night. Monday morning comes. The church gets a phone call from the disability complex in Edinburgh, 30 miles away, and it's the mother on the phone to the church in Edinburgh and Kirkcaldy. And she's screaming on the phone and she's panicking like that, and they can't get one. Calm down. What is it? It's Trish. What's wrong with Trish? You understand? It's Trish. What's wrong with her? Trish, she's walking. What do you mean? She's walking. This girl had never walked a step in her life. She was crippled from birth, right? There was no muscles in her legs. There was never a muscle formed in her legs because she's never walked. Now, this is the story. She gets home on the Sunday night. Her mother undresses her like every night that she does. They gets her and they puts her and they gets her into bed. Through the night, Trish finds herself walking to the toilet, like still, like obviously in a dream, thinks she's in a dream, walks to the toilet, goes to the toilet and sits in the toilet. And now this is what happened. On the toilet, she felt something grab her leg and going, you'll never walk again. And it woke her up. And she woke up, and when she woke up, all of a sudden, her legs are all tingling, and then she realized that she'd walked to the toilet. And she gets up off of the toilet, and she starts to walk. Now, they took her to the specialist. Now, they had to go and see specialists because she's living in a disability complex, right? I'm telling you this, what was that? It was the gift of faith that was spoken once the anointing spoken under that gift, when it's a supernatural gift, once it's spoken, it doesn't matter what you see right there and then. It is done. End of story, it's done. Once the gift of faith, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, it was done. Right? Now, as it happened, he came forth there and then. But there's many times the gift of faith will come upon, like Daniel that's in the lion's den. Listen, the gift of faith was on Daniel in the lion's den. He went to sleep with lions. He had no fear, no doubt, no nothing. He knew that God was divinely protecting him. It was the gift of faith that was upon him that kept him safe. So this woman, this gift of faith was upon her, went home that night. What happened was, they went and seen the specialist. So her mum pushes her in the wheelchair, right? But she can walk, right? Now remember, she's a big girl. Like, she was overweight and that, because she'd never walked before, the whole deal. So she was walking, and she's walking like this because she's never walked before. At all, right? So she's still just learning to walk, and she's walking like this. But anyway, she goes in, mum in the wheelchair, says to the doctor, we went to, told what doctor what happened. Doctor goes, impossible. It's impossible. I've got it all down. It's absolutely impossible. Yeah, what's impossible with you is possible with God. And he goes, it's impossible. Trish, you remember the blind man when once I was blind, but now I see? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to him, and they try to, annoy him, and, how can you that have been a sinner, blah, 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 and was harassing them, and who's this Jesus, whatever. And he said, look, all I know is, once I was blind, but now I see. End of story. What can they say? Once I was blind, now I can see. Right? Well, here's the same situation. The big head honchos in this, you know, complex. No, it's impossible. Trish, show him. She goes to the wheelchair and she starts walking this, and she's walking right through the hole, and she's walking up and down, and he's going, no, you can't walk. It's impossible. You can't walk. It's impossible. He can't. You see, people, they can't comprehend the spiritual things of God. When supernatural things happen, the natural mind cannot comprehend the supernatural power of God when it comes into manifestation. She's walking in front of him, and he's going out of his mouth. He's going, it's impossible. His mind can't comprehend. The gift of faith with the working of miracles in operation together. Supernatural. Saw it. I've got another story. I'll tell a little story once we get into a bit more. I'll go a bit further first, and I'll show you another story. Same thing, gift of faith and working of miracles. Well, that girl, eventually, we had a baptism in our church. It was a tank, and it was like probably up, the stairs was probably up to about here. And she'd walked in the church that night, and she was getting baptized in water, and she walked up the stairs in front of all the church and walked down at the baptism, and she'd never been underwater in her life. So that was even a massive step for her. And the pastor baptized her underwater in the baptism tank that night and got baptized in water. So it takes a gift of faith to call a person's spirit back when it's left its body. It takes the working of miracles to raise the person. So that was the working of miracles that raised her, but the gift of faith was upon her so she could receive that miracle. It takes the gift of healings. Otherwise, if the person is not healed, it would immediately die again. So we're talking about somebody who was raised from the dead, if it was something that physically killed them. So there was the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gifts of healings, all in operation together to keep that person alive. The gift of faith for casting out evil spirits. The gift of faith may be used in occasion to cast out unclean spirits from those whose bodies have been defiled by them. Herein again, more than one gift must be in operation. The gift of discerning of spirits, and or the word of knowledge, and or the gift of faith. And a little story on that is, I was flattened with a mate of mine's many, many years ago, again, in Scotland. And he was at work, and there was three of us all sitting around the kitchen table, and we were praying that day. We'd been to prayer meeting that day. We were talking, we were fellowship, we were singing, we were worshiping. We were just having a good time. We must have spent about 2 or 3 hours just praying and worshiping God and fellowshipping. Anyway, this guy comes back. This is a mate of mine's, right? He comes back from work, and he comes into the house. And I'd probably known him for about a year. He'd come into the church and I'd been flattening. It was his flat that I was flattening. And he'd come into work and he worked in social work. And I ended up doing that for 10 years. And it was him that got me into that job. So he comes back and he walks in. And I'm sitting at the table. And he walks on the table and he sits right in front of me. And I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, descending of spirits. It was an evil spirit. All over him. Right? And it's looking at me. Right? And I'm sitting there. This is a mate of mine's. Right? I believe that at that point in time, it wasn't just a discernment spirit. I believe that there was a spirit of faith that was upon me, because it was like, there was not one thing bothered me. When this comes upon you, there's not one thing bothers you, not one bit of doubt, not one bit of unbelief. There's nothing. It doesn't penetrate when that anointing's on you. So I'm looking at this guy, right? Seeing this. Well, he told me later, right? He said to me, when I came and sat at that table, he says, everything within me wanted to run for the hills. It wasn't him that wanted to run for the hills. It was that spirit that attached itself to him, right? They wanted to run for the hills, because we talked about this with the discerning spirit. When the anointing is on the scene, right, that's when they cannot hang around. That's when they start to shake in the boots. When the anointing, when the Christ-like anointing, when the power of God is there, they cannot stand the anointing of God. Oh, they'll come to church, but when the anointing starts to manifest, that's when they start to shake in their boots. Well, I'm sitting in the anointing. We'd just been praying and worshiping God. It was there. God was all over me. Well, I didn't know this till later on. Anyway, and I says, let me pray for you. And he looks at me in his eyes. You could see the terror. It was terror. It was fear. It wasn't him. It was this spirit, right? It was like terror on his face. It was like you could see it on his face. So I gets up. walks towards him. I didn't even touch him, people. I got from about here to there. When you're under this anointing, right? I got from here like that. I put my hand. I got from here to there. The power of God hit him. Boom. This is in his own kitchen. He hits. He goes down. He hits the deck. And as he goes down, he just starts slithering like a snake on the floor. And I looked down and I went, "You foul spirit," I says, "you loose him and let him go in Jesus' name." And instantly he was set free. Instantly. Now, do you know what it was? It was the fear, right, of homosexuality. It was the fear of homosexuality within his life. Was he gay? No, he wasn't. But the enemy was tormenting him and telling him that he was like that. It was tormenting him. And he worked in the I worked in social for 10 years. I worked with, with lesbians and homosexual and beautiful people and loved them and ministered to them. So it's not about condemning people and their lifestyles. It's about being able to minister to them that they can be set free. This guy was always on the verge and he'd feared this thing all his life. In fact, he even looked very much like a little bit feminine. You could say, just the way that he walked and stuff like that, right? So, I mean, in the natural, you would have thought, right? But he wasn't, never yielded to that thing, but he was in fear of it. And it was a spirit that attached himself to him. And when I spoke to that thing in the name of Jesus, under that anointing, I instantly let him go and freed him. Well, anyway, a few months down the road, he met my cousin and married her, and they're still married today, 30-odd years. 30-odd years with two kids. The anointing. When the spirit of faith comes upon you. Now, do you need the spirit of faith to always cast the devils? No. We can do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can do it in faith. Of course we can. But when that spirit of faith is there, it's clean cut, boom, 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 bang. It's gone instantly. Have we dealt with spirits before? Of course, yes. But we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That was a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Now, I'd known that guy for over a year and didn't know none of that stuff. Didn't know that was going on. And afterwards he told me he was in fear of those things and he was so set free, it was fear. It was fear of those things and it was trying to grab a hold of his life. So here again, more than one gift, it can be an operation, descending of spirits, word of knowledge, or the gift of faith. I believe that day it was definitely the gift of faith that happened in that room. If one does not see the Spirit, often the Spirit is revealed through the word of knowledge, right? Through the word of knowledge or the descending of spirits. But the gift of faith will still be exercised to cast out the evil spirit. General faith also is effective in casting evil spirits. See Mark 16 and 17. And you know what it says? Jesus says, you will lay hands on the sick, you'll cast out devils, you'll pray with new tongues. So if it's for those who believe. So we can still do these things with our faith in these situations. But we are talking about when there's a manifestation of the Spirit of God, hey, it's supernatural. Boom, boom, right there, bang. God deals that clear cut. So the working of miracles, we're talking about that now. The working of miracles is a supernatural happening as far as man is concerned. God having all power does not recognize miracles as such. What is a miracle to man is only an act with God. It is only a miracle with a man because we could not be able to perform this in our own natural strength. So what we see as miracles, actually, it's an everyday occurrence to God. Because that's what he does. He flings universes into operations and, the moon and the stars and rolls the things out like a curtain and he's God. So to him, it's every day, it's the way he lives. That's him. Right? But to man, when we see miracles, it's miracles to us because we in ourselves can do nothing to create those miracles. But the Spirit of God living in man has power, miracle working power to do miracles. And it's the working of miracles. So the Greek words for working of miracles are energamara, or dunamin. From the first word, we derive the English word energy. Right? Energy. From the second word, we derive the English word dynamite. Right? Dunamis. Dynamite. So energamatic, energy, dunamin, dynamite. Right? Dunamis, power. Right? The second word, dunamin, is the same word that's translated in Acts 1 and 8. You remember when Jesus says, "Hey boys, stay in Jerusalem till you be endued from power from on high." right? So Jesus was talking to his disciples, and what he was saying was, hey, you stay in Jerusalem till you be endued from power from on high. He's talking about dunamis power. Dunamis power. We can walk in the realm of dunamis power, but we have to believe it. I mean, that's what Jesus said at the end of the book of Mark and the book of Matthew. He said, if you believe. So the key here is believing. If you believe these things, you believe that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You believe that the Holy Ghost is that power, that anointing that does these things in our life. It's about us believing. How do we believe? Sit under the Word of God. Get the Word of God inside of us. Why? Because the Word of God is what gives us the ability to believe. People say, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, get the Word inside of you, and it will cause you to believe. Because the Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Acts 1 and 8 talks about that. Thus we could say this then, the gift of energy or dynamite or explosion of almightiness. The explosion of almightiness. When God comes on the scene with his healing, wonderful, working, mighty power, it's an explosion in the realm of the Spirit that causes great things to happen. It's His power. It's His power. It's His Spirit. It's His Word. And He's done it at Calvary for the body that we can. He desires His body to walk in these things. So a definition of a miracle. Sometimes the word miracle is used as a figure of speech to describe natural things. I mean, you hear it all the time, don't you? Well, miracle this and miracle that. We hear talk today such as miracle drugs, miracle fabrics, miracle detergents. It's not miracles, right? But man's done this with this, these words, and it's like minimized what a real miracle is. In nature, we might see magnificent sunrises or some beautiful flower arrayed in a splendor and say that these things are miraculous. None of these things are miracle specific. Now, they are in a sense, but not specifically, as what we're talking about is miracles, the intervention of God's power into a situation to change the circumstance completely that's impossible. So they all function according to the laws of nature, right? So specifically speaking, but generally speaking, they all function according to the laws of nature, the flowers and all these different things, right? So a miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature or a temporary suspension of the accustomed order through the Spirit of God, right? In other words, remember when Joshua was in a battle and the sun stopped all day when he was in the battle? The sun doesn't stop all day, people, right? It doesn't stop all day. It's against all the laws of nature. It's against all the laws that God put into operation. And yet, there was a miracle that happened. It stopped the sun until the battle basically turned. So it was an intervention to even break the laws that was put into operation. It changes things. A miracle. It was an intervention. To change the laws. The miracle was when Peter gets out the boat. Yes, we know it's the gift of faith. When Jesus spoke, says, come, the gift of faith. I believe it was the gift of faith. When that was spoken, it impacted Peter so much that Peter steps out, yes, under the anointing of the Spirit of faith. But once he got out the boat, it was the working of miracles. See? The gift of faith gave him the ability. He received the gift of faith, given the ability to receive the working of miracles. For when he stepped out in that boat, it was the working of miracles. You do not walk on water in the natural. It was the working of miracles in operation. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order through the Spirit of God. In general use of the word miracle, all gifts of the Spirit are miracles, but in actual fact, they are not. The working of miracles then is a specific act, an intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Here's another one. Again in Scotland, in Edinburgh this time, there was a woman in the congregation, and she's probably in her 70s about that. But I reckon it's about the 70s. She was probably in her 70s and in a wheelchair. Now, she could walk, right, very, very slowly, but she had, can you see my hands, about that size there, right? What is that? How many inches reckon that is? Maybe 4 or 5 inches, right? There was a block on one of her feet, a block shoe. right? Because one of the legs was shorter. That's how much her leg was shorter than the other one, right? So she walked with, you know, a built-up shoe on her leg. And her son, Tony, he used to always do the music at the back. Be coming for years to the church. And one day, now isn't this funny? She's been coming for years to the church. And just one day, we're in a service, like there's this menu room business, getting on with the service. The praise and worship leader is on the stage. Because remember, we talked about this. I'm telling these stories for this purpose. We talked about Corinthians chapter 12, about the gifts of the Spirit is for the body, that God wills and purposes through who he wills and purposes. It's by the Spirit of God, right? And he chooses who those manifestations are. He wants the body to operate in it. But when Jesus talks about the gifts of the Spirit, when Paul talks about it, he's talking about to the body, the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit are for the body, for the fullness of the body. God wants his body to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. So the praise and worship leader is on the stage and he's in there singing and worshiping Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, obviously starts speaking to him. And I watched him calling the pastor over. The pastor went over on the stage and he speaks to him and he says, this is what the Spirit of the Lord's told me. That obviously, that's what he was saying to him. So the pastor turned around and calls Josie, that was her name, Josie, up to the stage. She could walk because she had this built-up shoe on. So she walks up the couple of steps on the stage. They get a chair and they sat on the chair. Now I'm sitting second row from the front. So let's say that couch there is the stage. I'm sitting like probably maybe here, right? And the woman is sitting on the chair. They takes the shoe off and they starts to pray. And before my very eyes, I saw her leg growing right out. The 4 to 5 inches in front of my eyeballs. Right? I'm looking, my head's going, whoa, right? You know, we say we believe God, my head's going, whoa, you know, her leg is growing out. Now, this is what happened. Now, again, it shows you the natural mind can't comprehend the things of God. This wasn't had anything to do with her faith. Right? You know how we've been teaching in these classes that you can receive things by faith when you build your faith by the word of God, because faith comes by the word of God and hearing by the word of God. You can receive things by faith. This had nothing to do with her. This was a manifestation of the Spirit of God. They called her up on the stage. They prayed for her. Her leg grows out like 4 or 5 inches. Now she gets up and she's walking normal without the shoe. And the pastor puts the mic into her hand and says, Josie, what do you think about this, what Jesus has just done? And this was her response. Yes, when I get to see the doctors, I'll find out really what happened to me, or I'll find out if I'm healed. Her mind could not comprehend this, people, right? Our own mind, she's walking. This is the woman that the healing has actually happened to her. She is walking normally for the first time, right? 4 to 5 inches, and she's walking without her shoe on, and she says, well, when I get to the doctor, I'll find out what's happened. And you're going, what? What is she saying, right? Because it tells you this in Corinthians. It says, you know, that the natural man can't comprehend the things of God. That's why God is trying to teach and preach faith into the body of Christ, so that if you get faith into your life, if you get faith into your life and get the word of God into your life, if you do receive a miracle through the gifts of the Spirit, you will be able to hold on to your miracle. Now, I've just told you something. That was a little nugget right there. Because you may get a miracle through the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You may get a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and get your healing. But if you don't know the word of God, and you don't know the covenant of God, and you don't know how to stand upon the word of God and hold on to your healing, you can lose it. And I've seen that happen too with people with miracles. I've seen people receive a miracle from God and basically backslide from the things of God and the word of God, and the enemy come along with a symptom and making them think that they're back in that place, and they've received it through fear. It's came back upon them and they're back in the same situation. But if your faith is built through the word of God and know your covenant and know your covenant rights, who you are in Christ Jesus and who Jesus and what Jesus done for you, when that lie comes from any, you go, whoa. In fact, one man of God who got healed from a heart attack, in fact, he should have been dead many years ago from a heart attack, totally, absolutely restored, brand new heart, right? This guy couldn't walk anything, was always sick for years and years and years, gets a brand new heart, is absolutely brand new, and one day he's walking down the street, and all of a sudden, the enemy comes, and he starts to get all these same feelings in his heart, and he can hardly breathe, whatever, and fear starts to attack his mind. Well, anyway, the guy had his Bible in his hand, and he threw it onto the ground, and he stood on the Bible, and he goes, "If I go down, this word goes down. But I know God, this word can't go down because this word is eternal and it's established in the heavens." And instantly the fear left him and the symptoms left him. And he's walked in healing all his life since. Because he held on to his healing when he got healing by the Spirit of God. He held on to it. So that's why God wants to teach the body. That's why I keep saying the gifts of the Spirit are for the body. Yes, God will use the gifts of the Spirit for the body of Christ, but they're really for the world. Because we are supposed to get things by our faith. By believing the covenant that Jesus paid for at Calvary. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 2:13 and 14 says, "He also took up the mantle of Elijah and that had fallen," this is Elijah, "that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah and it had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that way. And Elijah crossed over the water." He took the mantle. You got to remember the mantle that was upon Elijah. What does the mantle represent? It's the anointing. It's the anointing that was upon Elijah the prophet. And Elijah the prophet spoke to him and said, "If you see me go, you will receive a double portion." Right? So that's why he stayed with him. And Elijah kept trying to push him. No, he stayed with Elijah. And when Elijah got caught up and the mantle fell, he grabbed the mantle. Then he goes and he says, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And he struck the waters. See the working of miracles. He struck the waters. Where is the God of? And the waters opened up. What was a miracle? Hey, waters don't open up like the Red Sea, you know, like in Kajil. So that all the children of Israel could walk through the Red Sea. Can you imagine the Red Sea open up? And you've got to walk through the Red Sea and look up. Sometimes we don't think about things like this. And you're walking through the Red Sea and that water is up there. And you're walking through the Red Sea to the other place and you think this could come down any time. The working of miracles. The working of miracles. God penetrates even the natural laws and can penetrate the natural laws. But we have to believe that he's the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God of miracles. And the more we start to believe and penetrate the things of God, God is still the God of miracles and wants to do miracles. But how is he going to do it? Through his people. So this is the account where Elijah takes the mantle of Elijah. We see Elijah standing at the Jordan River and hits the water, the mantle he got from Elijah. When he does, the waters part supernaturally to allow him to cross over the dry ground. This is the working of a miracle, an intervention into the ordinary course of nature. I mean, even dry ground. I mean, we're talking about the water opens up and it's dry ground. It's dry. I mean, it's not muddy. It's dry ground, it says. Old Testament examples of the working of miracles. The working of miracles was more prominent in the Old Testament. Possibly the best account to illustrate this fact is the Exodus from Egypt, where the number of miracles took place. Excuse me. Exodus 7 and 10 says, "So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." Hey, we're talking about a rod here. A wooden stick. He casts it down and it turns into a serpent. A miracle. It turns into a serpent. Have you ever seen a stick turn into a serpent? I haven't. Right? Working of miracles. Exodus 8 and 16 says, "So the Lord said to Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." Strikes the dust and all of a sudden, lice in trillions and millions, plagues in Egypt, miracles. You know, I haven't got time to go into all these things, but this is that we should be doing this, reading through all these miracles. This is our God we're talking about. This is not something that God just done for more. We're talking, he is our God. This is our Heavenly Father. And we are the sons of God. And we'll keep looking at that scripture on, out there on the way to the toilet. The world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The world is waiting for the manifestations of these miracles and signs and wonders. Now we know what's happening around the world, but we want them here, right in the local church. We want them here, right in Rotorua. We want them here in Whakatane and the surrounding areas. Why? And God will do it. This was in Egypt. He did it. So when Aaron threw down his rod and turned it into a serpent, that was the working of miracles. When the dust turned into insects and the other plagues followed, this was the working of miracles in operation. After the Israelites were released to leave Egypt, they were faced with a Red Sea and had Egyptians behind them in pursuit, with mountains and then wilderness on either side, and they had no natural way of escape. No natural way of escape. There was no way out. Their backs were against the wall. No, literally, their backs were against the Red Sea, backs against the wall. You've heard the saying, backs against the wall. Sometimes it's good to have your back against the wall. Do you know why? Because sometimes we always try to intervene in the things of God and we try to fix things. And sometimes we can get into situations and God, our back comes against the wall, and that's usually the times you'll turn around and you'll start to look, there is no way I can't deal with this. The only way I'm going to get out of this is by the hand of God in this situation. God was showing them that he was their God, that he was the God of miracles, that he was the God of signs, and he was the God of an amazing thing. As you know, they get to the Red Sea and they start complaining and they start moaning, and they've seen all these miracles and all these signs and all these wonders that God brought them out of Egypt with, and they still are moaning in the Red Sea. And here's Moses has to go before God and calls upon the Lord, stretch forth his rod and opens up. Miracles and signs and wonders, and I keep telling this every time I preach different places, we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. See, miracles and signs and wonders, yes, they are a sign to the unbelievers. Yes, they are a sign and they're wonders. But the signs and the wonders and the miracles isn't actually what holds you walking with God for the rest of your life. That woman who received a miracle, I'll go and see the doctor. She couldn't even comprehend that in her mind. It is faith that you walk with God every day. It's faith. It's faith that pleases the Lord. You walk with God through faith from his words and believe his word and believe his promises and believe who he is. We walk with God by faith. The signs and wonders and miracles, he wants to perform. But they're not the things that actually hold. They're just a dinner bell. Because if you don't get the word of God into people, it won't hold them. It's the word of God sown into people's hearts that holds people, because that's what gives them faith to believe in the hard circumstances and situations. In actual fact, on the occasion, another gift of the Spirit was in operation, the gift of faith. The working of miracles divided the sea, but it took the gift of faith to keep the sea divided. So there was a working of miracles that opened the sea, but the gift of faith, that supernatural gift of faith, was actually holding back that water. First Kings 17:12-16 says, "Then she said, 'As the Lord God lives, I do not have bread only, a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks, and I may go and to prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.'" There was a famine, right? They were about to eat their last meal and die. That was the sad state that they were in. And Elijah the prophet said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as I've said, but make me a small cake first." Can you imagine if the pastor said that today? And how the media would get hold of that. The woman's living in poverty. She's at one last meal. And the pastor is asking her to give him a cake first. Can you imagine what would happen in the media and the papers if they got hold of something like that? But there's a principle here God's trying to show us. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. You can sow and reap in supernatural ways. Elijah says, "Make me a cake first. Make me a cake first. And bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel," because remember, he's a prophet of God, right? Sent by God to this woman. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, and nor did the jar of the oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. See? He spoke, she received, and she believed, and she got under that anointing. She got under the anointing of the prophet. She got under the anointing of faith, and she did what the prophet had asked. And yet there's a scripture, I think it's in Chronicles, that said, if you believe the Lord thy God and believe the prophets of God, you will prosper in your ways. She believed the word of the Lord from the prophet of God. She did what he asked to do in obedience. And her and her household ate for many days in the midst of the famine. And the oil never ran out. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring, and the oil never ran out. Miracle. The spirit of faith, he spoke. She received that miracle by faith, and then she went and acted under the anointing. And the miracle happened when she acted in that spirit of faith. And then that miracle was that the jar kept getting filled up, and she kept eating. Are we talking about the same God that we serve? He wants to provide supernatural provision within our lives. He will do supernatural miracles. I mean, we ran, me and the pastor from Scotland, he was the international director for a man, some of you probably know him, Dr. Lester Summerall, pioneer of faith, who was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. He was in his 80s, this guy, right? I mean, he's been in New Zealand many, many years ago. He's now a home of the Lord. Pioneer of faith. Had a Hercules 130. Fed hungry people all around the world. Took $10,000 to put petrol in the tanks of that plane to go and fly on places. He would take food into different countries of the world and feed them, give it to the pastors, and the pastors would give it to the people of God, and then they would ring the bell to the sinners, come, feed their bellies, and then tell them that Jesus fed them. The program was all around. It was an amazing program called Feed the Hungry. Still in operation today. Feeds hungry people all around the world. This guy walked in miracles and signs and wonders. When I heard this guy first preach, when he came to our church in Scotland, he was preaching on the loaves and the fishes. And you know, and sometimes we can look for the supernatural and miss the miraculous. I mean, we read these stories about, you know, Jesus with the 12 baskets of bread and the two little fishes from the, again, you know, takes the little boy's, you know, lunch off of him. Pastor takes lunch off a little boy and, you know, and you know the rest of the story. Jesus takes the fishes from the little boy and breaks the bread and feeds over 5,000 people, women and children. And there was 12 baskets left over. Miracles. Supernatural provision. Miracles. God is into doing miracles. But it takes us to activate and do things. Dr. Lester Summerall was doing the work God called him to do, massive works in the world and feeding hungry people. And the miracles were just amazing. The miracles after miracles to feed hungry people. Small things that he did turned into miracles and turned into millions of dollars and millions of pounds of food to feed the world. And Russia and Georgia and all these different places all over Europe and all sorts of things, building houses. Miracle after miracle, God was doing his life. But the anointing for miracles and all these things is because we are supposed to be doing things for the kingdom of God. He wants to do these things. We used to run, I ran New York Marathon 8 times. The pastor I ran with from Scotland, he ran the New York Marathon 16 times for Feed the Hungry program in America. And I used to travel all over America with a pastor from Scotland and give the vision for Feed the Hungry, for another man's ministry. So in a New Testament example of working miracles, we see the work of miracles, the manifestation of Jesus. Took a little boy's lunch, 5,000, he fed 5,000, then he gathered up the 12 baskets, and there was 12 baskets left over, John 6, 5 and 14. You can read that in your own time. Another example is the ministry of Paul. When the working of miracles was used to confirm the word that was preached, Elymas, the sorcerer, could not see for a season by the power of God. So you need to read that in the book of Acts, right? He was blinded for a time and season. The guy could see, but he was blinded because he was basically doing things he shouldn't be doing and trying to, you know, buy off the things of God and with money and whatever. And he got blinded for a time and a season. So it was a miracle that happened. And then God took that away from him and he got healed again. So the gifts of healings. In fact, let's take 5 minutes and then we'll go into the gifts of healings. Just thank you again for your presence, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we believe, Lord, according to your word, that it says that signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of your word. Signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of your word. Father, I thank you for divine signs and wonders, Lord, for this church, Lord, for this people, Lord God, for this people, Lord, that you're preaching to your people in this place, and signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of your word. I believe that, Lord. And I thank you for the signs and the wonders, Holy Spirit, that you will perform through your people, that you would manifest through your people, that you would show yourself strong on behalf of your people, that they would believe according to the word of God and step out when they hear your voice and see the manifestations of those miracles and signs and wonders, that when they're walking through the supermarket and feeling sense in their spirit, that you're speaking to them just to go and pray for a person, and even though their mind's jumping up and down, and that they would just do it by faith and believe it was you, they would see the signs and the wonders. That you're waiting for us, God, to move according to your voice, according to your spirit, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're talking about now the gifts of healings, right? So we talked about gifts of miracles. We've talked about the gift of faith and the gifts of healings. And we've said that they are the three that usually work together. They can work together. Working the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith, that supernatural gift of faith. You'll find that they can work together and they interact with each other. So the gift is given by God. Again, it's supernatural. It's supernatural healing of disease without natural means from any source. It's a supernatural means. It is God healing a person without medical assistance. Now, get it clear as I say this, I will never tell people never to take their medicine. If they were to take medicine, that's up to them. They do what they do. Because you'll know that you'll know that you'll know that you'll know supernaturally. That you'll know that you'll know that you'll know supernaturally that you're healed by the Spirit of God. Right? In other words, somebody prays for you, for your eyes, right? You don't take your glasses off and throw your glasses away. It'll come to the point that you won't be able to look through your glasses. Did you hear what I said? There's many people doing some stupid things, right? And that's why the word of faith is such a bad name, because of people have done silly things. When God does the healing, he does the healing. You'll know that 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 you're healed, because it's supernatural. You'll know. There's a knowing. So some teach that today that the gifts of healings are doctors and medical knowledge which God has given to them. If medical science was God's method of healing, it would be free from the errors. The doctors would not make mistakes, right? We actually call it general practitioner, right? They are practicing medicine. Now, believe me, people, I thank God for the doctors and the nurses, and they do a great job to what they can do. Right? But the reality is, they are only practicing medicine, and sometimes they're just practicing on you. And that's why there have been so many, even my sister this year in Scotland, I mean, she had an operation on her one of her organs. They went in there and they punctured one of the organs, and she's had nothing but hassle ever since. Now, did they mean to do it? Of course they didn't. But it happens. They make mistakes, right? And they do the best job. And I thank God for nurses and doctors, whatever, because they've actually helped a lot of Christians to survive up to a point in time until God can actually get faith into their life so they can start believing God to walk in divine health rather than wait till they get sick, right? We as the body of Christ, we as the children of God, should be walking in the divine health. Now, sickness and disease comes. Been walking into some challenges recently ourselves, me and Tracy, in different areas, right? If things come into your life, it doesn't mean they won't come, but what are we going to fight these things with if we don't have faith? We're just going to bow to it. We're just going to bend to it and just expect the doctors to do everything. We know that people are dying all the time, that things are happening all the time, and the doctors can do nothing about it. We need the healer. We need Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God Almighty. We need him in our lives. And I like it. One man says this, the best way that we should be living our lives is never wait till you're sick before you put the word of healing into your life. Feed your faith that he's the Lord, your healer. Feed your faith that that's your covenant rights, that he took your infirmities and he bore your sicknesses and he carried your griefs and he took your sorrows, Isaiah 53. Matthew 8 and 17, Jesus took my infirmities, he bore my sicknesses, he's carried my griefs and he's taken my sorrows. Do not wait for things to happen. You plant the word of God into your spirit and bring faith to your spirit that when something comes chapping your door, something's going to respond to that chap, and it's going to be faith and declaration of your divine healing in God, that you are the healed, that you are the sanctified, that you are the delivered. You can use your faith. Why? Because faith is already there. That's right, preventative. It's called divine healing, divine health. And one man of God says, I remember this man, in fact, Smith Wigglesworth says this. The great Smith Wigglesworth, the guy that raised something like, he raised 14 people from the dead, and one person was his own wife. You hear the story when he raised his wife from dead?
Yeah, she said
time to go. She opened her eyes and goes, Smith, let me go. Three times she slid on the wall, and the doctors are in the room freaking the box, right? Just beside themselves, going crazy, right? Well, like you could get sued. Get sued for what? She's already dead. I mean, she's dead anyway, right? So anyway, three, put up against the wall, slid down the wall, up, command you to come into her body and command you to live. She opens her eyes and looks at him and goes, Smith, let me go. It's time for me to go. But she came alive. She came back into her body, working miracles, the gift of faith, right? But he made the statement. Smith Wigglesworth was a man of an apostle of faith. I mean, he was dynamic. He was one guy that operated, and that manifestation of that gift of faith was very strong in his life. He operated it in meetings. He operated it in places he went. He operated that supernatural gift of faith. I mean, just healings. Very strongly, but he made a statement, and he says this, if you have a terminal disease, if you wait till you get a terminal disease comes upon your life, and then you try to build faith, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Because at that point, you're physically, you're like you're running up a hill. You're in trouble, right? Because you'll be weak. Your mind will be getting bombarded, right? Your emotions will be all over the place. Your feelings will be going crazy because you're so more conscious of your physical person and what's going on in your body. You'll be in a battle. But if you build your faith in Jesus, but it is a fight and a spate, a manifestation of the healing power of God, right? Healing power of God. You remember with the woman with the issue of blood? And she said, what did she say? Now, I'm saying this. That was not the working of miracles. That was not the supernatural gift of faith. Right, and such. This was a woman that heard about Jesus, that he was the healer. She spent all her fortune on doctors and practitioners and was no better for all the money she spent, right, with issue of blood. And the Bible said that she pressed through the crowd and she said it out of her mouth. She heard about who, what did she hear? She heard he was the healer because that's what he was doing. He was healing people. He was delivering people, right? His fame went across all the boundaries. She heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She heard. Faith came to her life. And she said, but if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She pressed through the crowd. She could have been stoned for that because she was unclean. And the Jewish religion at that point in time could have stoned her for that stuff, right? Because of the issue of blood. She pressed through the crowd. She touched the hem of his garment. And it says, virtue left him. Healing power left him. Healing power left him. I'm pressing the point. Healing power left him. He is the head. You are the body. Guess where the healing power is? The healing power is in us. Because he, Christ, is in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So if we would build ourselves up with the acknowledgement that it's Christ the healer that dwells in us by his spirit. It's Christ the healer. We build our faith up. What happens is the spirit of God, when he manifests in our life, when we pray, what will happen? Virtue will leave us. The power of God will leave us. Smith Wigglesworth would be on a train. sitting reading his Bible, minding his own business. And they reckon the presence of God, he was so filled with the presence of God would emanate through his body, and a guy sitting across from him reading a newspaper falls on his face and cries unto God and says, save me, I need saved. Smith Wigglesworth never even spoke to him. Never said a word to him. He carried the glory. He carried the presence of God. We are carriers of the presence of God. We are carriers of the Christ anointing. Because he's the head and we're the body. The head and the body are one. The spirit without measure. Now, John 3 and 34 says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give him the spirit by measure. Now this was Jesus, right? So he had the spirit without measure. Without measure. He was the apostle. He was the prophet. He was the teacher. He was the whole fivefold ministry. He had everything going on, right? He had the spirit of God without measure. So Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. Therefore, we could see the manifestations of things in his ministry, which we would not see in anyone else because he had the spirit without measure. No other individual. However, it seems reasonable to say, what I'm saying is this. When Paul's talking to the church in Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking to the body. The gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit, he desires and says, it says desire spiritual gifts. Why? Because it says God, as God wills, as the manifestation wills, as the Holy Spirit wills, he says he gives it unto one, the spirit of wisdom unto another, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of wisdom, and sometimes several gifts, maybe two or three gifts. He will manifest himself in those ways. But Jesus had the whole thing going on, the full measure in every single way and part of his life. But when Paul's teaching, he's talking to the church. We are part of one another. God's doing it through his body. When the church comes together, there's a greater measure of faith. There's a greater measure of anointing. That's why we call it, I don't know if the pastor calls it, the corporate anointing. The corporate anointing. Corporate anointing, right? Why? Corporate anointing that gets you the booty, right? It's the corporate anointing that gets the booty for the church so the church can fulfill the vision, right? It's the anointing that does these things. You happy now? The anointing, right? The corporate anointing upon the body of Christ. There's a full of measure of the Spirit of God when we come together. That's why church is so important. Not sitting at home thinking, I can just say, no, you're part of the body. You bring an anointing. You bring something to church. It's not you just come to church to receive. You bring something to church. Why? Because you, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So when we come together, there's a greater measure of faith, a greater measure of the anointing that when we come together as the body, so therefore there can be greater miracles. So Paul keeps dealing with this thing. He's talking to the church. However, it seems reasonable to say that this text infers that the entire body of Christ collectively has the same measure of the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in them when they come together. There's a greater measure. I know there is. I've been in meetings, absolutely been in meetings, where the anointing has been so wild, right? I mean, I've seen the craziest things happening. One time, I don't know if I shared a story, when we were worshiping and praising God in a service many years ago in Scotland, worshiping and praising God with the body. It was a corporate anointing. And faith seemed to be a peak, a high level, where miracles and signs and wonders started happening all over the building. People, the power of God was hitting people all over the building. I mean, you were looking around the building and people were, nobody was touching them. Power of God was hitting people all over the place. You could hear the angels singing with a clarity. You hear the angels singing. That night in that meeting, I saw in the spirit my mother getting saved, and she lived an hour and a half away from that meeting that night. I drove home that night and I walked in and my mother said to me, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior tonight. In a corporate anointing where faith is being released. You see, faith can be released, the anointing can be released, and the faith can be released through praise. Praise is dynamic and it's working. Praise. will cause, it's one of the weapons of God. Praise will release the power of God where he will move into the situations an hour and a half away. On the other side of the world, praise will take you into the realm of faith. And in the realm of faith, that's where miracles can happen. She got saved that night. It's a whole other teaching. I better move on. I do all that stuff in the praise and worship teaching. How to worship and praise. So this means that an individual would not have the same measure of success in ministering even as the gifts of healings. Because Jesus had the Spirit without measure, he would have the manifestations of all the gifts and manifestation, all the gifts of healings. Because the gift healings is plural. It's not just healing, the gift of healing. It is plural. Why is it plural? Well, we're coming to that. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 30 says this, and God has appointed these in the church, first the apostles, second the prophets, third teachers, after that the miracles and the gifts of healings, plural, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Remember, tongues, not your heavenly language, but the gift of tongues, we've talked about a bit. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? He's telling you no. They're not all apostles. They're not all prophets. They're not all prophets. They're not all teachers. They're not all of these things. They are in the body, but they're not all these things. Are they all healers? No. And verse 28 says this. Gifts of healings, plural and plural. This is the way it would be in every one of the verses, for this is the way it is in the Greek. Why is it the gifts of healings and not the gift of healing? The Bible does not tell us specifically, but most noted scholars, ministers agree that there are many categories of diseases, right? Many categories of diseases. Possibly 39. Now, I've heard this, right? But you need to study this yourself too. I'm not saying I know this all, but what I've heard from renowned men of God and whatever, there's 39 diseases. Now, there's a lot more than 13 diseases. They come from the same, but they come from strands from the diseases, from those main 39 diseases, right? There's 30 major 13 diseases. And from those, like, you know, arthritis, and then you get all strands of arthritis and you know what I'm saying, right? There are strands, but there's major diseases. Well, it's an interesting fact. How many stripes did Jesus got on his back? 39 stripes that he took, less one. 40 stripes, less one. 39 stripes, right? So if that's the reason, I don't know if that's the reason why that they're saying 39, but they reckon 39 diseases, obviously with strands, some other things, but Jesus, by his stripes, we are healed. That he took, by his stripes, 39 lashes on his back, but he took sickness and disease upon he who knew the Son, became Son. He became Son. But he also became sickness. He became those diseases. He became those ugly things that we could be set free. He became poor that you could become rich in all things. He became sick that you could become healed. He became sin that you could become righteous at that point in time at Calvary. Now, this is interesting. In the ministries of men, and I've read a lot about this stuff, right? In the ministries of men and women who have healing ministries, it was discovered after them discussing the subject with one another that each of them seemed to have success in getting people healed in one area, particularly while having limited success in others, right? And here's some. In the ministry of Jesus, he healed all manner of sickness and disease because he had the Spirit without measure, right? Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went about in the cities and the villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the kingdom of healing, every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, Stephen Jeffries, has anybody heard of him? Stephen Jeffries was especially used to heal rheumatoid arthritis and all kinds of arthritic conditions. It's like he could pray for any person with those conditions and instantly get them healed. Fred Squirrels, was especially used to minister to those who were blind eyes, 400 blind eyes open. 400 blind eyes open, specifically, right? Brother Hagen has particular success with cancer-related illnesses. When I read some stuff on this, what they said was in the 50s, it was in America, they had a magazine called, I think it was called the Voice of Healing. I'm sure it was called the Voice of Healing. And it was all different ministers who moved in the realms of the healing anointing in the kingdom of God, right? And a lot of these guys would get together, and what they talked about was that, now, let me go back up a little bit. It does not mean that you can use your faith and a person can come in faith, they've sat under faith and they've got the word of God, and you can get into faith and you can believe God and get your healing. So that, leave that aside for a minute, right? Receiving your healing by faith. We are talking the manifestations of the gifts, right? The manifestations of the healing anointing, right? One of the nine gifts. So this is what we're talking about. So you've got to keep them separated. So what they were saying was this. They found when they got talking amongst all of the ministers and all these, and they started, and especially in the 50s when there was great healing revival in America, they were finding that there was ministers that were having great success in certain areas and certain elements, some with cancers, some with blind eyes, some with rheumatoid arthritis and all different diseases. And it wasn't that the minister wouldn't pray for somebody with those diseases, but they would do it more in faith because they didn't have the same success as these other guys did. But they had a lot of success in those areas that they were really anointed to do. So that shows me something. When we're talking about the anointing and the corporal anointing and the body coming together, even within the church, there'll be certain things that we can operate in. That's why we need one another. We need each other because there's things that God places on. Can you imagine if one man had all the fivefold ministry gifts on him, had all the manifestations of the gifts? Do you know what would happen? He would be put on a pedestal. And it's happened over the years, right? I could mention some men of God's names, even some areas of their life. Like, you know, the Brannans of this world and stuff like that, right? Who are powerful men of God. I mean, real prophets of God. I mean, this guy could tell you the color of your house, the color of your walls, what was in your top drawer and the left-hand side of the drawer, where you came from, what your address was. This guy was a prophet. I mean, the guy was just so intimate. But then they reckon he got off and started thinking it was Elijah, and certain crazy things started happening within his life. Because people start putting people on pedestals. So God is one. God's not looking for superstars. God is looking for the body. For the body. That we don't put. Listen, who are we? Me? You? You can't heal a fly's eyeball. But Jesus can. But Jesus can. The Jesus is in you. You without him can do nothing. You without him can do nothing. It's always through him, by him, and in him, Paul talks about. So these men of God had conversations about these things. And the Spirit of God comes, he will come. But you have to believe, you have to penetrate, you have to expect for these things to come. But when he comes, there might be an area that you'll have success in. Develop it. Believe God even more in that arena. And you'll find some other people and some others that they're just so, you know, in certain areas of their life, they've got it going on. You don't look at it, well, I want that. Forget, you don't, never mind you want that. God's given you something. Forget what they've got. What's God given you? What does God want to manifest through you? You seek him, what does he want to manifest through you? So we do not understand everything about the subject, but we must act on the knowledge that we do have and continue to see people blessed. Because that's what it's about, right? Getting people blessed, getting people set free. I'm nearly finished. A couple of examples and then we're out here. Examples of the gifts of healings. Acts 3 and 6. Peter and the man at the gate beautiful. We talked about this. I was talking to you earlier on at the back there. Right? Now, the man at the gate beautiful. Come on. Work with me here. Right? The guy is crippled. He's sitting at the gate. Jesus himself walked by that guy every morning to go to prayer. The disciples walked with Jesus, walked by that guy every morning and went to prayer. And he sat at the gate crippled every morning. Now later on, Peter and John walks by. And all of a sudden they stop. And the guy's begging. The same guy, the same cripple, the same person at the gate every single day. He looks at him. And the guy looks at him and goes, and he's begging. And he says, silver and gold have we none. But look upon us. Look upon us. There was something on them at that point in time. I believe it was the anointing. Because you see the manifestation of what happened. It says, look upon us. Look upon us for what we do have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk and be healed. They grab the guy, but the guy gets instantly healed. But they walk by that gate every day. Why now? because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That was the manifestations of the Holy Spirit at that particular point on their life. Do I know why that? No, I don't. But what I do read into it and what I can see in it is that they walked by the gate every day to go to prayer. But if you keep doing what you know to do, what I do know is this. If you keep doing what you know to do, just keep seeking God. Don't get caught up why they're not getting healed. Why is this not happening? See, it's all doubt and unbelief. Why is this not? Why? Forget the whys. Just believe. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the God that heals. They kept going to prayer. They kept believing God. They kept walking with Jesus. Just keep walking with Jesus. Keep walking. Keep believing. Keep thanking. Keep praising. It will happen. It will happen. They walk by, and in that particular moment, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes upon them. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith and the working of miracles. The guy gets healed by the Spirit of God. We get so caught up in some detail stuff and disdain. That's why Jesus says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher and the developer of your faith. He wants to develop his body. We've got to grow into these things, develop our faith so that we can believe God for the supernatural when it comes and the manifestation. And then teach people, after they get the miracles, to hold on to the miracles so they can get their mind renewed by the word of God, get them filled with faith so they're continually walking in divine health. That's what he really wants. That's why we have healing classes. That's why we have healing schools. Healing schools are about getting the word of God into people's lives so they can walk in the covenant of God. We used to have one in Scotland. Every Tuesday night, we'd be a healing school, a prayer school and a healing school. And the healing school was every single Tuesday preaching about healing and the covenant every single Tuesday. And there was nights the manifestations of the Holy Spirit would come and God would get healed by the manifestations. But the healing school was there to preach faith, to preach healing, to preach the covenant. And faith came and faith came. People got their healing by faith in the healing school. And they knew how to hold on to it. So that's what healing school was about. Acts 5 and 15, Peter's shadow. Again, Peter's walking down the road, right? We talked about Smith Wigglesworth. Same thing, this is what happened here. Peter's walking down the road, and it says the shadow of Peter. It says they brought the sick and the diseased into the streets. And when the shadow of Peter touched them, it says demons came out of them. And people got healed miraculously. The shadow of Peter. I believe it was the shadow of the glory of God. The shadow of Peter. A shadow in itself is not going to heal it. Right? Right? A shadow. It's the presence. I believe it was the manifestation of the presence of God reaching out. They were so filled with God. These were men of prayer. These were men of purpose. These are men of desire, pressing in, preaching the gospel. They just knew their God. In fact, you remember when it says that, Acts chapter 4, it says that when the people came, they looked upon Peter and they saw that his face shone, and it says they knew that he was with Jesus. But why did they know that? Why? There was something about his countenance. There was something about his life. They knew that he was with Jesus. The anointing that was on his life. They knew that he was with Jesus. This is the guy, his shadow is touching people and people are getting healed. Now what? Huh? He'd been with Jesus in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a key factor. Jesus was a man of prayer. Was always on the mountaintops praying, coming down. And when he came down from the mountaintops, that was when the miracles and the signs and the wonders were happening. Because he was in the presence of his Father, seeing what to do, hearing what to say, and knowing what to do. We want it like this. But are we willing to spend the time in the place where we can see and perceive and know what to do? That's the key. Right? So the last scripture, Acts 8 and 7, and Philip, and they reckon that Philip, they call Philip the evangelist, right? And Philip walked in signs and wonders and miracles and got lots of healings. You can read that in your own time. Summary. The gift of faith is the greatest of the three power gifts. A miracle can be defined as a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. From the Greek, we understand the working of miracles can also be termed as the explosion of the almightiness of Almighty God. It's an explosion, a miracle. It's the explosion of the power, the energy. It's the explosion of the energy of God coming on the scene where God has manifested himself. Amen. Hallelujah.